Welcome to the Affiliated Monitors Expert Podcast, hosted by Tom Fox on the Compliance Podcast Network.
Everyone, this is Tom Fox, back again for our concluding episode in our five-part exploration of aspects of monitorships with Mikhail Gordon from Affiliated Monitors. Today, we're going to take a look at that veiled land of the future and look at evolution of situations involving a monitor. So, first of all, with that incredibly long-winded introduction, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom.
Mikhail, one of the things we have touched upon in this podcast series has been a core expertise of yourself in the area of not only technology, but its intersection with law. And so I was wondering if you might give us some thoughts about how this intersection of law and technology, including privacy, data management, and data bias are really driving the conversations that you are having with clients around oversight and monitorships.
Sure. I think, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, the trend, if you will, the real growth in monitoring entities that have violated data privacy laws, and this can come not from any overt poor decision on their part or action. It could be from a data breach, or it could be they misuse data they control. I mean, we look at some of the very public data misuse, such as Facebook. But we also, because of evolving privacy laws, the GDPR in the EU, the forthcoming CCPA that will go into effect January 1, 2020, I think this is where we have just seen an explosive growth. Companies are a little on the back foot, and I think they forget, you know, part and parcel of all modern if you will, modern commerce, modern business, be it for-profit or non-profit, is data. It's information. I think a lot of entities have really not fully incorporated that into their overall compliance program structure. And so monitors now are addressing both directly monitoring how an entity is handling their data. Are they complying either with privacy laws or data security standards, as well as in other forms of monitorship where it's data intensive and there may be personal identifying information or sensitive corporate information, sensitive IP and trade secrets. All of that needs to be considered when monitors are working with a monitee.
Let me change the focus just a little bit and ask you the following. Could you tell us how monitorships fall into different categories based on the type of remediation effort a monitor is there to achieve?
Well, sure. If we think about if like how AMI was formed was because our managing partner had the idea that there had to be something beyond just removing a professional, such as a doctor, from practice for violating the Business Professions Code. And we see that with so many regulated professions. Is there something else that can be done that doesn't remove them completely from practice? And from that all the way up the spectrum to very large multinationals under a consent decree or under a DPA that may run, 10 years or more. Facebook's under a consent decree that runs 20 years. Very different approaches, obviously, and how we structure that, we're going to be married essentially to that entity or individual being monitored for some period of time. So there needs to be trust. We're not adversaries, and we need to adopt a cooperative approach. to get out front of it initially and to express expectations on both sides, to be candid, helpful when working with us. And I think, you know, Professor Veronica Root, a number of years ago, astutely documented that monitorships fall into these different categories based on the type of remediation effort that the monitorship is really meant to achieve. And these different categories necessitate different structures to achieve these goals. You know, we can't adopt universal rules and say, okay, all monitorships must behave this way. You know, differences really matter when we're establishing what that monitorship, that oversight program is going to look like. So if you think about it, you know, if a company is subject to a criminal investigation and they've identified problems from an internal investigation, then maybe it makes sense right from the beginning, even prior to entering into a settlement agreement, right, to talk about, before we self-disclose, before we enter DPA negotiations, if we brought in a monitor now, and they can advise us on remedial steps and improvements immediately to the corporate ethics and compliance program, we're essentially demonstrating to the regulator the seriousness, right? They are demonstrating that they take this matter seriously, and this is a preemptive action that evidences genuine desire to comply with the letter and spirit of the law, and it can have real impact, right? Regulators, when they see that, they can say, okay, this is a company that's taking this seriously. In other instances, it may be a narrow component of a company's behavior or an entity's behavior that really they've already taken the steps, and the agreement is that we're going to just check their homework. They already know what they need to change. They've made the change, and this is checking their homework. And that's what we do, if that's what's required. In other situations, it may be much more heavily investigative or testing how well a whistleblower program is genuinely working. The Financial Times just this past weekend had an investigative report on the Big Four and how they handle whistleblower complaints. And it wasn't a terribly flattering article. Concerns around how whistleblowers are treated can say a lot about the true ethics of a company and whether the corporate culture is really correctly calibrated to handle complaints that come in via their hotline. So where do those complaints go, particularly when they can be around really personal or sensitive subjects, and how they're subsequently dealt with? That's a situation ripe for a monitor, but it's a very different approach than, say, that criminal investigative scenario I just painted.
Well, first of all, I have to say you win the ultimate award. You're the first person in all my years of podcasting who has cited to an FT article. So kudos for that. I read the same article. But let me end on this note, because this is another theme that AMI has really talked about throughout its podcast series. And I wanted to get sort of your take on it. And that's proactive monitorships. You really have spent quite a bit in this podcast series talking about the positive aspects of monitorships and how monitors work with both companies and regulators. But could we take that to the step of a proactive monitorship, where perhaps there is not yet a regulator in place, or perhaps there's an investigation going on? How does a proactive monitorship, how do you view that?
I'm of course hugely in favor of it, because in my opinion, you ought to be getting in front of things before a problem gets to a crisis point. I mean, let's go back to the technology. We operate in a data-driven economy. You know, there are new data privacy and security requirements and challenges up ahead. You're not quite certain where that fits in to your overall compliance program. You anticipate one breach, and you will suddenly find yourself in front of the FTC, that's, you know, that's the perfect opportunity to say, ah, okay, maybe a proactive monitor coming in and helping us get a handle on how we ought to be addressing these risks and these problems before the crisis point. There's a lot of value in that, and it can put an organization on the right footing to then really, I mean, they don't need us in perpetuity. They don't need us for 10 years in a proactive setting, but it sets the right tone. It also, that neutral, independent assessment can really be of value to an entity that says, okay, so now we know what to do. We've sort of focused our efforts here. And I think that, you know, for both internal and external stakeholders, where vulnerabilities and threats are then perhaps reduced and they feel like they have a plan, I think that's invaluable.
Mikhail, we're near the end of our time for this episode, but I wanted to thank you. This has just been a fascinating exploration of a lot of different areas and aspects of monitorships that we don't talk about enough. So I wanted to thank you, and I greatly look forward to continuing this conversation with you in another podcast series.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's my pleasure, and thank you so much to the Compliance and Ethics blog. And I look forward to listening in on your other podcasts, continuing to listen in.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox again. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of our 5-part series exploring aspects of monitorships with Mikhail Gordon, Managing Director at Affiliated Monitors. For more information on Affiliated Monitors, check out their website, www.affiliatedmonitors.com. I hope you'll join us again for another episode where Mikhail and I take a look at another aspect of monitorships, which is something that you should consider in your compliance program going forward. This 5-part series is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. Thanks again for listening.